reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Adi Leela, Chapter 1, Text 13. Advaitam Harinadvaitad Acharyam Bhakti Shansanat Bhaktavataram Ishantam Advaitacharyam Ashraye. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord. He is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. This verse appears twice in Chaitanya Charitamrita, as do all the verses in the Sanskrit verses. They're in the Mangalacharan. They're first given as a Mangalacharan, and then they are explained later in detail. So they appear at least twice in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In neither of the places in which they occur in Chaitanya Charitamrita has Srila Prabhupada given a purport. What happens is that after each Sanskrit verse in the Mangalacharan, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami himself gives the purport in Bengali, and then Srila Prabhupada, following the previous acharyas, commentaries, further comments. So Srila Prabhupada didn't directly comment on this verse. He did give one special class. You can't say all of Srila Prabhupada's classes are special, but one class that particularly sticks in my mind, Srila Prabhupada gave on this verse in Mayapur, in 1975, I believe it was, where he's talking about what are the qualifications to be an acharya, how he wanted there would be so many acharyas from his disciples, then there would be no shortage of acharyas, and the business of the acharya is to chase bingo out of the world, among other things. Meat eating and so many other things. So that's a very special class in my mind. And I've spoken on that many times. Today I want to speak on another aspect of Sri Advaita Acharya, taking this verse as a starting point. First I'll read Pranam Mantra to Advaita Acharya, from Srila Dhyana Chandra Goswami's Sri Gaur Govindarchana Smarana Padati. Yeah, we should all know. Parampara Jano Palomate. His name's not in there, Dhyana Chandra Goswami, but we should know. We can't learn everything at once, but we should have some idea. To be in this glorious parampara of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how coming down through Vakreshwara Pandit, Gopal Guru, Dhyana Chandra, all these great devotees, serving at Gambhira. So the prayer to Advaita Acharya, Nistarit Ashesha Janang Dayalung, Premamrita abdhau parimagna chittam Chaitanya chandradritang architang tam Advaita chandrang shirasa namami. With my head at his feet, I offer my humble obeisance unto the merciful Sri Advaita Chandra, whose heart is drowned in the ocean of prema. He delivers infinite numbers of devotees and is honored and worshipped by Sri Chaitanya Chandra. Now, the point I want to particularly discussing Advaita Tattva. A particular point I want to pick up on. Advaita. Generally, it's a Sanskrit word, obviously, and its general connotation is within Indian spiritual circles, Sanskrit. Within Sanskrit-speaking people, the general connotation of Advaita, when we hear the word Advaita, we generally think of the philosophy of Shankaracharya. Kevala Advaita Vad. Sri Shankaracharya, he gave the idea, not incorrectly, but not fully correctly, that the absolute truth is one. The absolute truth is one, and he said this is the message of the Upanishads, which is not incorrect. It's not incorrect, but it's not the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It's partial. If we say Advaita, here in this verse, Advaita Harina Advaitat, Acharyam Bhakti Sankshanat. He's known as Advaita Acharya because he preaches the cult of devotee. Well, first of all, because he's non-different from Hari. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in that way, he's Advaita. Advaita means not two-ness, not different. And Acharya means one who teaches. So Srila Prabhupada, in his class on this topic, he stressed that Advaita, he stressed on the point of Advaita being an Acharya. The other point is he's non-different from Hari. Then who else is non-different from Hari? Well, we are also, we as jivas, we're non-different in one sense. There are two categories, right? There's Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva. Advaita Acharya is Vishnu Tattva. Therefore, Sarup Damodar Goswami explains that, as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in Bengali, Ek Mahaprabhu are Prabhu Dwijan. Dui Prabhu Sheve Mahaprabhu Racharan. There's one Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there are two other Prabhus, which means Advaita and Nityananda, and they serve the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. So it's Advaita, Vishishta Advaita, special consideration of Advaita, or with varieties within that oneness, because Advaita and Nityananda, they are also Krishna, but other forms of Krishna. Now, when we say there's Jiva Tattva, there's Vishnu Tattva, there's one more, there's Shiva Tattva. And Shiva Tattva is one with Krishna and different from him also. And that's true of Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu. It's true even of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he is Krishna and somewhat different also. It's true of the jivas. But Shiva is closer to being Vishnu in the sense of his power and majesty and might than we the jivas are, but not as much as Advaita and Nityananda are. So he's in his own category, Shiva Tattva. Shiram yata dadivikara vishesha yogat sandayati na hitata pritagasti hetoho yashambhutama pitata samupaitikariyad govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. Lord Shiva is compared to yogurt in comparison with milk, because yogurt is nothing but milk, but it's different also. Yogurt comes, you can, from milk, yogurt comes. From yogurt, you can't get back to milk. But if you examine the yogurt, then you can understand that it comes from milk. So Lord Shiva is very, very big topic, very, very big topic to understand. Those of us who have been studying at some level or other Vishnu Tattva for most of our lives, we can understand it's a vast topic. It's unlimited. To even understand the details of our Gaudiya Siddhanta, it's a huge topic. What to speak of the other Siddhantas of the Sri Vaishnavas, the Shuddha Dvaitavadis of Madhvacharya, and the Shuddha Dvaitavadis of Vallabhacharya. It's huge. Who can understand all these things? Even noetically, who can understand all these things? Maybe Lakshmi Tartacha in Melkote, he's understood. But he himself will admit that he can only touch the beginning of it all. Now, Vishnu Tattva, if we come to Shiva Tattva, there's a whole culture of Shiva Tattva. We have this huge culture of Vishnu worship, and there's another whole huge culture of Shiva worship. And there are various sampradayas within that, some which mostly they tend very much to impersonalism. There are others which tend towards more personalism. And there are various levels of Shiva worship. It's a huge, huge thing to understand. Who can understand Lord Shiva? Very difficult to understand. Jiva Goswami says that both Guru and Shiva, these two tattvas, are very difficult to understand because they are non-different from the Supreme Lord, yet markedly different from him also. So both are very difficult to understand. Advaita is Shiva tattva. Who is Shiva? Sada Shiva. We've heard that term. Sada Shiva. Shiva means auspicious. How is he auspicious? With a garland of skulls and snakes and covered in ashes from the crematorium, surrounded by ghostly beings. How is he auspicious? Well, he's auspicious for them because he helps to uplift them. He's auspicious, Vaishnavanam yata shambhu, as the greatest Vaishnava. But there is Sada Shiva. Shiva means auspicious. Shiva in this material world is always auspicious. That's the meaning of his name. But he often acts as the duty he's been given to deal with so many inauspicious living beings and so many inauspicious duties he has, destruction of the material world, that he doesn't appear to be always auspicious. Sada Shiva. And the Shaivites will definitely disagree with pretty much everything I'm saying. Sada Shiva means Vishnu. And what I'm saying, of course, is not something which I make up. Sada Shiva means Vishnu. He's always auspicious. He doesn't interact with this material world. He does interact with this material world through the medium of Lord Shiva. Otherwise, he doesn't interact. Sa'aikshata, he sees the material world. And then he sees the material universe. And then Lord Shiva acts. Aham bija pradapita. When Krishna says, I am the seed-giving father, that is Lord Shiva. He factually does this work through the activity of sex. We see linga is always worshipped with yoni, the Shiva linga with the penis of Lord Shiva is worshipped with the yoni, the vagina of Devi, worshipable. But for anyone else to engage in that, it's generally within this world, the sexual attraction is the binding force in this material world. So anyway, Lord Shiva, I don't want to speak so much. It's a huge, huge topic and very difficult to understand. Who can understand Lord Shiva? He's the most powerful. He is controlling his wife, who is the controller of the material energy, but he doesn't take anything. He's not interested in enjoying the material energy. He lives as an ascetic. He appears to be most inauspicious, and even such a greatly pious personality as Daksha was mistaken in judging him to be inauspicious. Who can understand Lord Shiva? One thing we can understand, Sadashiv, Vishnu, this Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu avatar, and also Sadashiv enters into it. So Sadashiv means Vishnu, but it's from that form of Vishnu who expands Shambhu, who injects all the living beings into this world, and into this world. And then the various Rudras, who are also known as Shiva, they're further expanded. So the Rudras, they're Shiva. They're not exactly Sadashiva. Even a Jiva may sometimes take the role of a Rudra. So those Rudras, Rudra means angry. They act in a manner which is perceivable as inauspicious. But who is this Sadashiva, Vishnu? It means he's just Lord Vishnu, he's in the spiritual world, but he's just looking, just thinking about the material world, how he can help the living beings in the material world. Then he expands himself as Lord Shiva, and Vishnu is worshipped in this world, but Lord Shiva is also worshipped, and Lord Shiva is especially worshipped by those who, by their own fallen, sinful mentality, are not suitable for worshipping Lord Vishnu. They're a long, long, long way away from worshipping Vishnu. Now, Lord Shiva, paradoxical, he's Vishnu, and he also deals with the people who are so far away from Vishnu. Also, within Shiva worship, we find there are different levels. They're on the highest level is just like Shiva. Is he fully spiritual? Yes, spiritual, but it's spiritual, yeah, but he's in the material world. And so like that, he comes as Shankara to preach Advaitavad, Mayavad, which is spiritual and which is followed original Mayavad, not this New Age bunkum. But original Mayavad is followed by very high-class persons following austerities, following the Vedic process, studying the Vedas. It's spiritual, but then it's called Mayavad, because it brings us back to the material world due to avishuddha buddhi. Yena ravindaksha vimuktaman inastvayaste bhavad avishuddha buddhaha aruhya kritsrena parang padang tata patantyadho nadrita yushmadangaya. Those who follow the path of impersonalism, which is impelled by Lord Shiva, even prior to Shankaracharya's recently appearing, some 12 or 1300 years ago, recent. But prior to that, there are so many impersonalists. It's nothing new. Shankara, he wrote his commentaries propounding impersonalism. Well, they weren't the first commentaries on Vedanta Sutras. He wasn't the first exponent. He became the most, he is Shiva, so very powerful to propagate that. But who takes to that originally is a very high class people. And it's spiritualists. But it leads, by following that path, they can merge into the spiritual. It is spiritual. But it's very hard to describe, just like Shiva, very hard to understand. Spiritual, yes, but appears to be material. Material, very much involved with the material world. So this Advaitavad, it's spiritual, but it's not completely free from all contamination. Therefore, avishuddha buddhiha, and following that, one gets liberated with great difficulty, but then again has to fall down again into this material world. So maya, it's the last snare of maya. So Lord Shiva deals with very high-class people who are still a long way from Krishna. Even after going such a long, long way up, they remain such a long, long way away from the lotus feet of Krishna. And therefore they come back to this material world. And then we have the other aspects of Shiva worship. The ghosts, the tantrics are mostly concerned with Shakti. Shakti and Shiva cult, they're very much interrelated. It's crematorium stuff. He's surrounded by the Pishachis, Preet, Bhut, Vetal, all these ghostly beings. And within Shiva worship, within a short period, we have Advaita Saptami, that's today. Then we have Shivratri, Nityananda Trayodashi, Gaur Purnima. Within a short time, we have them all. So Shivratri, then the Shaiva Babas, covered with ashes, smoking ganja. The high-level Shiva worshippers, they don't do that. They're smoking ganja. Srila Prabhupada, he said, if you want to worship Lord Shiva by smoking ganja, that's all right, but then you should also drink an ocean of poison. That you cannot do. They imitate Lord Shiva by taking ganja. Not recommended for genuine spiritualists. Although some people say, well, it helps to calm the mind. Then there's animal sacrifice. It's stopped now, but in Pashupatinath temple in Nepal, where we Malechas are not allowed to go inside, we're too fallen. But that's used to be a great center. Shiva temple used to be a great center for killing of buffaloes and others, goats, chickens, sheep, but especially is considered very good to kill a buffalo before Lord Shiva. And other places, there are so many holy places connected with Lord Shiva. I spoke about that in my series of talks on Tirthas. The Lord Shiva is very merciful to the fallen. He tries to lift them up. He gives them a place, or he facilitates them to have a place within Vedic culture, because there will be animal killers. I'm in favor of restoring animal sacrifices. Close the slaughterhouse and restore animal sacrifices. Animal sacrifices they're stopping because they don't need animal sacrificed, because they get their meat from the slaughterhouse. But the animal sacrifice that minimizes the animal killing. Now they became very humane. Oh, we're not going to kill the animals in the sacrifice. We're going to kill them en masse in the slaughterhouses. So better to go back to the Vedic system. Allow animal sacrifice, unless and until people become more enlightened by the Sankirtan movement. But the demons, they have all wrong ideas. We are humanely killing millions of animals every day. So Lord Shiva, he deals with people on various levels of the spectrum, being away from Krishna. Now, what am I talking? I'm talking too much about Shiva here. What about Advaita? Where does he come into it? Well, Advaita is so merciful to the most fallen. He saw the fallen situation in Kali Yuga, and he prayed for Krishna directly to come. I cannot deliver them, he thought, because Lord Shiva cannot deliver by his role, his generally accepted role. He cannot deliver the living beings to Krishna Prem. So he called for Krishna himself, thinking of the fallen. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated his program of mass deliverance of the fallen by Harinam Sankirtan, we'll find in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Advaita Acharya. Now remember, Advaita Acharya is coming from very high class, respectable Brahmin family. Even among Brahmin families, there are different levels, various levels of Brahmins. So those who act as doctors, there may be Brahmins who act as doctors. This is in the social considering, they're considered lowers. Astrologers, they're considered lower, then higher than that are priests. And it depends, who do you act as priest? Well, it depends. If you're a priest in the temple of Vishnu, that's very high. But then if you act as priests for lower caste people, that's also lower kind of Brahmin. And if you act as a priest for higher class people, that's better. If you act as a priest in the temple, that's better. If you're speaking philosophy, initiating others, that's the highest class Brahmin. That's how it's considered. So Advaita Acharya, very high class Brahmin background. His father was a Raj Purohit. He was an advisor to the king in the kingdom of Laur, which is now in Bangladesh. Interestingly, that land is always flooded again and again and again. So it's been difficult to establish a temple for Advaita Acharya there at his birthplace. Interesting. It's just like the land is also, the land there, it's sometimes seen, sometimes not, like Lord Shiva. You want to establish something, it's of the nature of this material world. You want to establish something, it gets destroyed. Lord Shiva, destruction principle. Anyway, Advaita told Vishvamba that you're going to distribute devotional service, that's what I called you for, then give it to the less intelligent also. Not just, you see, we're all Brahmins. Vishvamba, he was instructing in he was a teacher. He's expert in debate, Advaita. So many Brahmins are there. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Garadha, Srivas. They're all from Brahmin families, externally seen. It's their eternal pastime. So Advaita said, you give devotional service to the less intelligent persons, including the women and Shudras. Let all the sinful people who are proud of their education, wealth, high birth, and austerities, the sinful people. He's talking about people who have high birth, who are doing austerities, pious activities, they're sinful because they're away from Krishna. Let all of those, and let those who place obstacles on the path of your devotees and your devotional service burn to death. And let all others, including the dog eaters, dance while singing your holy names and qualities. So Advaita, he said, let those who put obstacles in your path, let them burn to death. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lifted them up also. Who are those who put obstacles? Chankazi, under the influence of the smarter brahmanas. Advaita is seen as a smarter brahmana by some of his descendants, even up to the present day. They were the ones who instigated Chankazi to try to stop the Sankirtan movement. And the greatest obstacle is the Mayavadis, the Kaitava Dharma. Kaitava Dharma is that which covers pure devotional service, rejected in Srimad Bhagavatam. What are the Kaitava Dharma? Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Four aims. Dharma Dhe Mokha Bancha. Kaitava Pradhan. Jaha Hoite Krishna Bhakti Hoi Antardhan. The worst kind of cheating in the name of religion is the desire for impersonal liberation, or any kind of liberation, actually, here this verse says. But specifically, and that was propagated by Lord Shiva as Shankara. And Advaita says, don't let those people in. But Lord Chaitanya went and delivered them also. Later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, again, we're reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat. He said to Advaita Acharya, Jatek Aspishta Dushta Jabana Chandal, Stri Shudra Adi Jato Adham Rakhal Heno Bhakti Jog Dimo E Juge Shobare Shura Muni Shita Jaini Mita Kama Kare. In this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will distribute devotional service that is desired by the demigod sages and perfected beings. People who can even aspire for this devotional service, the very highest level pious beings. But I will give it to everyone, including the untouchables, the miscreants, the yavanas, which in colloquial Bengali, it means Muslims, dog eaters, women, shudras, and other fallen souls, beginning to the lower castes. Now, I've been thinking a bit in the last few weeks about one pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Advaita Acharya. It's shocking, shocking pastime of Mahaprabhu, Nimai at that time, young man, going to the house of Advaita Acharya specifically to beat him up, to physically beat him. That's really shocking. That whole pastime is something quite extraordinary, how Nimai and Nitai, they start off from Navadip, walking along the bank of the Ganga. They come to the house of a tantric sannyasi, an innocent Nimai. He didn't know what was going on, but Nitai had already been all over the world. He knew what was going on. This is a wine-drinking, sex-mongering, so-called sannyasi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, having been in a house unknown to him, he went in a house where wine was drunk, and for that, so contaminated, immediately jump in the Ganga to with this clothes on, to be free from the contamination of being in a wine drinker's house or just a place where there's wine. What to speak, they have wine in the churches, right? Catholic Church. Wine is drunk during the Mass. So he jumped in the Ganga and floated down to Shantipur, the house of Veda Acharya. And naturally, Nitai, who loves swimming in the Ganga and playing with the crocodiles, that's what he does. Ganga, crocodile, Ganga, her. When she comes out, she is the river, and her carrier is a crocodile. So expect crocodiles in the Ganga. And Nitai just plays with them. And Nitai, he's always having fun. Nityananda, Premananda Sukhi. He's always in bliss. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows discomfort, distress in bhakti, but Nityananda always bliss. So Nityananda takes the form of Ananta Shesh. Nimai takes the form of Vishnu. And this way they float down the Ganga to Shantipur. So we already had two extraordinary activities, going in the house of a wine drinker. And Vrindavan Chandra, not only a wine drinker, but he doesn't even say I'm a wine, he's trying to make it spiritual, but trying to show it as spiritual. But Vrindavan Das states that, you see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he ate some food, he took some fruit in that house before he went. So he did that, but he wouldn't eat with the Mayavadis, such high-class people, until they were converted to Krishna consciousness. So they went down, and they came out of the river, and then they came out to see Advaita. Advaita, very happy. So many times, Nitai had, and Nimai had come to his house. Very happy to see. And Advaita, at this point, is an old man, elderly man, and Nimai is young and huge, very tall, huge figure. And he physically beats Advaita hard. This is very strange. Brahmins, they'll generally give, they can speak harsh words in debate. They can do so. Or maybe not in debate also. They have a license to speak harsh words. But to physically beat someone, why would he do that? Why would Nimai do that? Well, Advaita, he wanted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to disrespect himself. Advaita wanted that he would be disrespected by Nimai, because Advaita is always in the, although he is Mahavishnu, he is in the mood of, I want to be seen as a servant of Gauranga. But naturally, Nimai respected Advaita. Naturally respected him. His elder, father's age or a little older. He's an acharya. He's teaching. Naturally respects him. And to break that respect, what can Advaita do to break that respect? Brahmin is to be tolerated and Acharya is to be tolerated pretty much whatever he does. Even if he does something very wrong, well, you may not go along with it. But Brahmin is never to be punished. By his own community, he can be punished by expulsion from the community. That's very, very severe. If he does something wrong, just like a Brahmin drinks wine, then he wouldn't be allowed to worship the deity. He might be allowed to stay within the Brahmin community, but he might not be thrown out. Thrown out means you have to go among the Chandalas. It's a very, very severe punishment. But he could be just allowed, okay, you'll be a Brahmin at home and no more. You don't join us for chanting Vishnu Sahasranam. You no longer worship in the temple. All right, we'll keep the appearance, but you any more drinking wine, you're out, like that. So there's nothing you can do to, what can you do that Nimai will disrespect him. So then he started teaching Advaita Vad because he's Lord Shiva. Just consider, what is this Mayavad? It's a fantastic spread of illusion by which people who are highly learned and cultured can make such a massive error as thinking that they themselves are God. Who can establish that in the world? Such a powerful, and so powerfully, that it's there in directly in India in the form of the Advaita Vada of Shankara. And all over the world, this mystic experience, the perennial philosophy, experiencing oneself to be one with all of reality, that can be established by Lord Shiva. So powerful. We have in the Padma Purana, Lord Shiva telling his wife Parvati. Now remember, Parvati, she is the overseer of the material world. She wants to keep people in the material world. And Lord Shiva speaks this philosophy, which is for getting people out of the material world. So they seem to be working in contradiction to each other. She cannot give such a philosophy. Sometimes it's taken by tantric shaktas, that you'll get liberation, but it's by following their methods, very gross, bizarre methods. But actually this whole idea of liberation from the material world with the idea of becoming one with everything, which you can't become one with everything, which even a child can understand that I am not you, you are not me, and we may be all together in some way or other, but we're not all together in that. We're not like the spiritual version of Siamese twins, that we're literally joined together. And Siamese twins are born and say, oh, how wonderful, they're born together. You should separate them if you can. Individuality is required. Anyway, quoting from Padma Purana, Lord Shiva tells Parvati, Shunu Devi Pravakshami Tamasani Yata Kramam Yeshang Shravanamatrenan Patityangyaninamapi Apartam Shruti Vakyanam Darshaya Loka Garhitam Karma Sarupa Tyadyatvam Atra Cha Pratipadyate Sarva Karma Paribhrangshan Naishkarmyam Tatra Chochate Paratma Jivaya Aikyam Mayatra Pratipadyate Pratipadyate. My dear wife, hear my explanations of how I spread ignorance, the mode of ignorance. Satvam Sanjayate Gyanam. Persons in the mode of goodness can have, within them will arise knowledge. And persons in the mode of goodness, they follow the Shankara philosophy, Advaita Vada, they're in the mode of goodness. But they get the opposite result. It's not guaranteed that by being in Sattva-guna, if one adopts this tamasic philosophy of Lord Shiva, then one's behavior may be in Sattva-guna, but one is plunged into the worst ignorance. I've spread ignorance through my Mayavad philosophy. It's not just the followers of Shankara. The pervasive effect of Mayavad is to increase materialism. Lord Shiva comes as Shankara in Kali Yuga. Simply by hearing it, the Mayavad philosopher, even an advanced scholar, Gyaninamapi, those who are knowledgeable, scholar means scholar of the Vedas, even an advanced scholar will fall down, that is, they fall down, that's stated in the Bhagavatam, Patantyadho, they fall down. In this philosophy, which is certainly very inauspicious for people in general, I have misrepresented the real meaning of the Vedas and recommended that one give up all activities in order to achieve freedom from karma. Shankaracharya is very big on this. You have to give up all activities to get freedom from karma. And even in his Gita commentary, he goes to great lengths to try to show how you have to give up everything in order to pursue the path of mukti, which is clearly opposite to the path, to the actual message which Krishna is giving, which is you act in this world and do your duties in this world and do bhakti to me. So Shankara got away with it in a big way. He got away with it. In this Mayavad philosophy, I have described the Jivatma and Paramatma to be one and the same, which is should be pretty obvious that it's just not true. It should be. But somehow or other, well, somehow or other means by the incredible illusory potency of Lord Shiva, Shankara, this people actually think like that. Lord Shiva himself says that Mayavadam asat shastram, it's most inauspicious, this most inauspicious. It's what he presents as shastra is not really shastra, just like we understand all the shastra through Bhagavatam. The followers of Shankara, they understand all the shastra through the Vedanta Sutras, yes, but particularly through the commentary of Shankara, which is accepted as good as shastra. So, what does he say, Lord Shiva? Mayavadam asat shastram prachandam bodham uchyate. Shankara is so heavy on the Buddhist, but practically his philosophy is another version of Buddhism. Mayaiva vihitang devi kalo brahmana murtina. I will appear in the form of a brahmana, highly respected brahmana, to preach in Kali Yuga, I'll preach this message. Very wrong message. So he does that. There's a purpose behind that also, because Lord Shiva is catering to persons in the mode of ignorance. His duty is to increase the mode of ignorance. Therefore, he's not all auspicious. All auspicious is Vishnu. Now, Advaita Acharya knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu naturally doesn't like the Mayavad philosophy from two counts. If we take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Vishnu, doesn't like Mayavad philosophy. He states that there's a sinful person in Varanasi who wants to cut off my hands, cut off my legs, make me blind, make me deaf. He's referring to the Mayavadi, Prakashananda Saraswati, because he wants to cut me to say that I don't have any form. He wants to make me formless. In other words, say I don't have any hands, legs, and so on. And then from the point of view, if we take he's a devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he doesn't like it at all because they represent Krishna as being illusion, Maya, his pastimes as being Maya, bhakti as being Maya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really doesn't like this at all. So Advaita Acharya speaks, he preaches Yoga Vashishta. Now I wondered, what is this Yoga Vashishta, which is that Advaita Acharya spoke, and why is it so much hated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So I did a little research. Research nowadays means mostly on the internet. No, I read some real books also. It's ascribed to Valmiki, and it's supposed to be a supplement to Ramayana. How Lord Rama is instructed by Vasishtha in Mayavad. This whole world's an illusion. Everything's an illusion. And with so many stories and very attractive. Advaita Acharya was preaching this. Now, what is going on here is that Shankara, his philosophy can only be accepted by very high-class brahmanas. Actually, it should be accepted only by renunciants, sannyasis. But by Yoga Vasishtha, which is clearly inspired by Lord Shiva, because it spreads ignorance in the worst way. The Rama appears in this world, everyone loves him. Well, not quite everyone, but Ravana and his cohorts, they don't love him. But everyone loves him. And the whole recitation of Ramayana up to the present day that invokes feelings of love, bhakti for Rama. A Yoga Vasishtha comes and says that Ram himself is feeling despondent, seeing the nature of this world, and comes to understand that, yes, it's all just an illusion. But you have to act according to Dharma. So he acts according to Dharma very nicely, and all these people worshipping him, but the people don't exist. He doesn't exist. The Yoga Vasishtha opens up the idea that everything's an illusion, the impersonal idea, to everyone. It's open to everyone. Now it's no longer just for brahmanas and for renunciants. It opens it up and it particularly targets bhakti. So it's really the worst thing possible. This Sharirika Bhasha of Shankara and Vivek Churamani and so many of his works, which establish his impersonalism. They've never been widely studied or known, but the Yoga Vasishtha, that became more widely known, and especially when many of the stories from that and the narrations from that and the characters within that, they ended up in Tulsidas's Ramcharitmanas. Now, Ramcharitmanas, people read, but that was introduced on a background of the Sanskrit Yoga Vasishtha. So people the tendency is there, and I'm getting a bit out of a subject here. Ramananda Sampradaya, worshipping Ram with bhakti, but seeing everything ultimately as impersonal. So Advaita Acharya, not acting as Acharya Bhakti Sangshanat, not acting as an Acharya Bhakti, or appearing to, but doing something most insidious. He did that, and when Nimai heard about that, he went and beat him. He went to beat Advaita Acharya, and in this way showed that the aspect, we worship Lord Shiva, Vaishnavas worship Lord Shiva in as much as he is a Vaishnava, but we reject that aspect of him, which leads us into Maya and worse Maya. That aspect we do not accept. The fact that we respect Lord Shiva does not at all give any grounds for accepting the low-class activities which go on in his name, and even the behaviorally and philosophically high-class activity of pursuing Mayavad, strongly rejected. This is made clear by Nimai. So Advaita Acharya, in a roundabout way, just like Lord Shiva in a roundabout way, speaks Mayavad. Shankaracharya speaks Mayavad, or gives Mayavad, which is an inherent kalush, contamination within the heart of the conditioned living souls, the idea, I want to be God. And by establishing that, he gives the platform for the Vaishnava Acharyas, Ramanuja, Madhva, to cut that misconception to pieces. Shankara Acharya, he solidifies it or conceptualizes, more than conceptualize, he systematically presents that contamination within the heart. And then he sets the stage for Ramanuja and Madhva especially to systematically cut the wrong idea to pieces. So in one way, Shankara indirectly makes the platform for Vaishnavism to appear in this world. Now, in the same way, Advaita, by preaching Yoga Vashishta, and who did Nimai beat? In play, he sometimes beat his mother when he was a baby. Otherwise, who will he beat? He was prepared to kill Jagai and Madhai for their physically assaulting Madhai, physically assaulting Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu stopped him. Otherwise, who does he beat? The fallen, the sinful, he uplifts them by Harinam. But these people, the Mayavadis, they're impervious to Harinam because they also chant Harinam. They chant Harinam. Ram, 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 Sita, Ram, Sita, Ram, Sita, Ram. They'll chant. But their concept of Ram is so perverse that by their chanting, they go further away from Ram with every chant. By their Nama Parada. So very, very strongly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu beat. It wasn't just making a show. He very, very strongly beat Advaita to establish that this Mayavad, no way, whoever speaks it, we should not accept it. Don't allow it. Don't allow it within the field of pure devotional service. But it's spiritual. Yes, it's spiritual, but it's like Lord Shiva. It's yogurt, it's milk, but you can't make sweet rice. You can't boil rice in milk and give that kheer, payasana. You can't do that. It won't work. So you can say, yeah, it's spiritual. The Mayavad is spiritual. Yeah, but it's wrong. It's like Lord Shiva. He's partly spiritual, partly illusory. We want to take the fully spiritual. We want Advaita Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I want Advaita Acharya, I want you in the bhakti line, not on the other line. This I accept. The other part, reject it. We've heard God is a mystery. It's particularly true. It's more true of Shiva than Vishnu, actually, because Vishnu is very clearly the supreme personality of Godhead, very different from the Jivas. There's Madhva's whole teaching. There's very great difference. But Lord Shiva, very mysterious. Where is he? He's in every heart, yes, but what's his position? Shivoham, I'm one with him. Really? Ah, very mysterious figure. How he can be such a high figure and yet apparently come down to the low level. He can do it because he's on such an elevated consciousness. Now, Advaita's sons, there are two groups among his sons. Those who accepted him conventionally, they accepted, actually, he's smarter. We're smarters. We come from a great tradition. He spoke Yoga Vashishta. Nimai beat him, made a great offense of beating him. And then because Nimai beat him, then he was impelled by his sin. For the sin of beating my father, he was impelled to leave his happy situation at home and wander off as a sannyasi. That was his karmic reaction for beating our father. And you see, if you hear about, he's just crying all the time in great distress, rubbing his face on the wall. He spent the whole of the rest of his life in distress. That's a reaction to his beating our father. That is the sinful way that the sons of Advaita, who accepted Advaita conventionally, they thought like that. And their names don't even appear in Chaitanya Charitamrita. They accepted that actually he was teaching Yoga Vash, very good. It's impersonalism and Smartavad, they go together. And Advaita, superficially, he may appear to be like a smarta, even from the descriptions of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nityananda came to eat in his home. You destroyed my purity, throwing your food on my body. You destroyed all my smarta principles, my brahminical principles. He was making a show of being a conventional brahmana. When he wasn't conventional, he gave the shraddha patra, the offering shraddha for his forefathers. He gave to Haridas Thakur. What could be more unconventional? He's not, but he sometimes makes a show of that to make a joke out of this smarter conventionalism. But the wrong followers of they take him to be an orthodox brahmana, which he may have kept up some show for the sake of living in society, being a conventional brahmana. He had to uplift them, just like Lord Shiva. He may make a show of being ghostly. For the sake, he lives among the ghostly people for the sake of uplifting them. Not that he is ghostly, but to the ghostly people, he's our Bhutanath. He's our boss. He's the biggest ghostly type of all. So Advaita Acharya, he, because of his role, he's obliged to act in a very unconventional way. When Nityananda Avadhut comes to his home, Nityananda, as usual, behaves in a very unconventional way. Sahaja Pagal. Nityananda is naturally crazy. He doesn't follow the conventions of human society. And Nityananda, by throwing that rice, his food, eaten rice, prasadam, on Advaita Acharya's body, he wants to show the worthlessness of all these rules and regulations which are followed without Krishna consciousness. And Advaita, by dancing in ecstasy, shows, actually, I want to be like you. Prem dharma is beyond the conventions of this material world. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to act as the acharya. He had to act in a way to keep up with the customs of society. To a large extent, he did that because we had to establish Krishna consciousness within this world. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most unconventional pastimes, or how his full absorption in prema at the highest level, that can't be shown to the people in general. That goes on in their Gambhira at night when everyone is asleep and only Ramananda Rai and Srup Damodar are there with him. Not even Govinda. Govinda goes to sleep at that time. He takes his rest. Later on, Shankara Pandit came also, the shoes of the Lord, to just give some break to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the intense pain of being Radha, he couldn't tolerate it. It's very, very painful. And we don't discuss this much. We hear about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Sankirtan, dancing, delivering Jagai Madhai, touring South India, so many, Rath Yatra with all the devotees, dancing. We don't hear very much about it. He's rubbing his face against the wall and his body becomes expanded, so all his joints become loose and then they all go inside the Kurma Rupa. We don't discuss these much. They're so inconceivable. And it's painful to hear about it also. We would never have heard about it. It's a very secret thing. It's not even the devotees in Puri. They may not have known, or just heard something about it. Sri Damodar, Ramananda Rai, both very circumspect persons. But Sri told Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das, he conveyed that to Krishna Das, Kaviraj. And Kaviraj Goswami wrote that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's a very, very secret thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very unconventional. Krishna Prem is unconventional for the material world. Nityananda Prabhu, his role in the great drama, Gaura Leela, is to demonstrate Prem. What is this world? What is this world? The girls all want to get married. He walks up to the girl and says, he's a sannyasi, will you marry me? He walks around naked. He's not following any convention. There's all crazy. The whole material world is crazy. Nityananda, by appearing as crazy, he shows everything in this material world is crazy. But you can't preach Krishna consciousness like that because people will misunderstand. So very sober cult of the six Goswamis, they propagated living in a very sober way, living among the people. But then, hey Radhe Rajadevi Kecha Lalite, hey Nanda Sunakuta, Sri Govardhana Kalpa Padapatale, Kalindi, Kalindi Vane Kuta, Goshantaviti Saravato Rajapure Kedar Mahavivalo Vande Rupa Sanatano Raghu Yago Shijiva Gopalako. To all external appearances, very sane, sober. Even the Emperor Akbar comes to visit with all order. But then, running in the forests on Vrindavan, on the bank of the Yamuna, feeling the great pain in their hearts, calling out, where Krishna, Radha, Lalita, where are you, where are you? So what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, it's really an otherworldly religion, really, really, really. But it has to be preached in this world. So everyone in Chaitanya Leela has their part to play. Now, one thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although playing the role of a strict sannyasi in many ways, he's going to propagate Sankirtan, and there's no way you can do that by being staid and following normal conventions, because Sankirtan is unconventional to human society. It still is. If we go out in the streets of London or Rome or Bombay or anywhere, it's something unusual. It's only in the blessed land where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and their associates spent so much time, the blessed land of Bengal, Orissa, Vrindavan, where Sankirtan is welcome. And still there are demons who don't welcome it. But it's welcome. That's why I say the real Bengal is in the village, not Calcutta. It's in the village. You go to Sankirtan in the village. So many villages, people will appreciate. They're doing it themselves. But for most of the world, it's unconventional. We should change that. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, to change all of that, to make Kali fly out. What is that? Duranta Kali, this rascal Kali. Palai Hoya Bibrata, by the Sankirtan. Ingodrum. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrives, Nityananda, Advaita, Kali's there in God's room, and they chase him out by their wild kirtan. Elo telo. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is completely wild with his hair and everything, just completely wild kirtan. Drives them out. Drives out Kali. So he wanted to make it convention, make Hainam Sankirtan the normal thing to do. But it's a... When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went out, it's very unusual. In Varanasi, maybe more than any other place where he went, it really disturbed the Mayavadis there. Really, they didn't like it at all that he went there in Varanasi. And this sannyasi is supposed to be the emblem of the highest symbol of dharma. And he should follow his own dharma, which is studying the Vedanta Patan Dhyan Sanyasira dharma. The proper dharma of a sannyasi, very staid, studying Vedanta, performing austerities. And then why are you doing the activities of low-class people go and sing in the street? It's not high class. You are young. It's very hard to get, even now, you see, if we get some very rich, respectable people who are well known and respected in society, if they become devotees of Krishna, still their respectability. They won't like to dance and chant wildly in the streets. What will people think? So in this way, Dine re adhik daya kare bhagavan, kulin pandit dhani bara abhiman. The mercy of God especially goes to the fallen and poor people, because the high-born people, the highly scholarly academic people, and the rich people, they have to maintain their prestige. They can't chant and dance in the streets. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and chanted in the streets of Varanasi, the stronghold of Shiva worship, the stronghold of Mayavad. They didn't like it at all. It didn't make any sense to them. They're worshipping Vishwanath in Varanasi, Lord Shiva. But they don't realize that Lord Shiva is making a big fool of them. They think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan is foolish. But Lord Shiva, he is making a big fool of them by leading them on the spiritual path and giving them the idea that they've become God, which is nonsense. You can't become God. It's impossible. It's completely impossible. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated by speaking Vedanta to them that this is dharma. This actually is dharma. Jibeshwarup hoy Krishna Nitya Das. This is dharma. Shiva is the personification. The inauspicious part of Shiva is the personification of Kaitava Dharma, the cheating kind of religion, which is the great mandate of all the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at the present time still, to drive out that impersonalism from this world. In one sense, we're opposed to the Shaivites. in the sense that if they identify with Shiva and Mayavad, well, how are we going to do that? I mean, these Mayavadis, these scholars, they're big scholars. They know Shastra. They know how to argue on a level we can't even begin to approach. So what can we do? We can do Sankirtan. The result of that. Helo dhunitak he daya vishadaya prun milad amo daya sham yach chastra vivadaya rasadaya chitar piton ma daya shashvad bhakti vinodaya samadaya madhurya maya daya shri chaitanya daya nide tavadaya bhuyad amando daya surub damada. On meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time. Oh, well, he wasn't Purushottam Bhattacharya Navarit. No, now he's Surab Damada. And now he's meeting Chaitanya. Purushottam Bhattacharya was with Nimai Pandit in Navadvip. Now he's in Puri with, now he's Surab Damada. He's in Puri with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's another whole topic. But he realizes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his mercy, all the distress of this material world, all the wrong ideas, all the wrong philosophies are driven out by the great mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the ocean of mercy was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who gives the bliss of our eternal relationship with Krishna and inducts us into the sweetness of bhakti, which is something just in a different dimension to the formalities of being a civilized person, even within the Vedic culture. All the different, the Mayavadis are arguing with the Vaishnavas, the followers of Shankara, they argue with the followers of Madhva. This goes on, but it'll never come to an end. The only way is to get the Mayavadis to chant in Kirtan and give them the right philosophy also, because they'll do Kirtan. They'll also chant. But you have to give them the right, you have to establish Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, that Sankirtan, then we associate. If we perform Kirtan among Mayavadis without establishing the difference between ourselves and them, then we become part of them. We may think, oh, they'll like it, they'll become part of us. No, we become part of them. We become contaminated by their nonsense. Maybe they'll become a little inclined to bhakti, but unless they get this rubbish idea kicked out of their minds that they can or they are one with God, then their chanting won't help them very much. It's useless making friends with Mayava. You may do for... There may be on some platform, just like, okay, we think it's a very good idea to clean the Ganga. That was some propaganda some time ago, got forgotten for the time being. Okay, and Mayavadis may think that also. Okay, there are many things we agree on, but don't get too close. It's very, very dangerous. Mayavad is the greatest attack on Krishna praying. Therefore, Nimai beat Advaita Acharya. So Lord Shiva, he's the greatest Vaishnava, right? States in the Bhagavatam. That stated in the Bhagavatam, at the end of the Bhagavatam. States that Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee. Is that really true? In all respects? We find what is it? Aradhyatayonunam, Bhagavan Hari Rishvara. Radha is the greatest because her service to Krishna. Lord Shiva, he doesn't get entrance to the Rasa Leela. He's there guarding it. No Mayavadis allowed. You're following me? Go back. You cannot come in. He himself doesn't. He stands outside. He's guarding it. Something bigger than Shiva's doing his worship by guarding the dham. He's guarding the Rasa Leela. He's guarding pure devotion by propagating Mayavad. So all people who, even they may like to think they're devotees, but they like this Mayavad. They're caught by Lord Shiva's Mayavad. We see, as Srila Prabhupada writes, and we can practically observe that there are many people who think they're devotees and they appear to be devotees, but they like this Mayavad. You cannot be a devotee and like Mayavad. It is not possible. A devotee cannot go on day after day after day hiding Krishna, speaking in a way that's kind of fits with Vaishnava philosophy, but doesn't actually clearly state that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Talking about the Supreme Soul, but never identifying that the Supreme Soul is eternally different from and superior to the individual soul, so that when Mayavadis hear it, they think, oh yeah, wonderful, the Supreme Soul, that's me, right? And when devotees, they hear it, oh yeah, he's talking Vaishnava philosophy. So trying to be both a Vaishnava and a Mayavadi at the same time, it doesn't work. Why are you attracted to that rascaldom? Don't be attracted to, in the name of uplifting Mayavadis, you're misleading people. Giving the idea that they're devotees, but actually not giving the real Krishna, the full Krishna, Krishna as he is, Krishna as Srila Prabhupada and all the Vaishnava Acharyas gave to us. Then it becomes like Yoga Vashishta, becomes like Ramananda Sampradaya, where, yeah, it's all bhakti, it's all wonderful. Dig a little deep, there's no conviction that Krishna or Ram is supreme. They don't have to dig very deep. Not possible to surrender to Krishna unless we're prepared to tell people that Krishna is supreme. Therefore, Nimai beat Advaita Acharya. He didn't accept. Now, I just want to read this, just one thing. Lord Shiva supreme states in Bhagavatam, right? Nimna, we know that line, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Actually, this appears in a series of two verses establishing the glories of Bhagavatam. Nimna Ganam Yata Ganga Devanam Achuto Yata Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu Purananam Idang Tata Kshetranam Chaiva Sarvesham Yata Kashi Hyanuttama Tata Purana Vratanam Srimad Bhagavatam Dvija. Now, if we see this verse, it says the greatest of rivers is Ganga. True, we accept. But Yamuna, even more so. And Ganga, yeah. Ganga, Lord Chaitanya bathed there in Varanasi. He bathed daily, three times a day, when he was in Navadvip, in Ganga. So yes, we accept Ganga as great, but not in the way that you accept Ganga as great. Our understanding, talking about the Mayavadis here, and the materialistic followers of Vedic culture, and the Mayavadis, the followers of Lord Shiva, they accept. Why is Ganga great? Because it comes from Lord Shiva. Why is Ganga great? Because it comes from Lord Vishnu. Why is it on the head of Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva is very happy to have it on his head because it's coming from the lotus feet of Vishnu. What other praman do you need that Lord Vishnu is supreme? So he mentions Ganga, then among the gods, Achyuta. Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest among the Vaishnavas? Shambhu. Shiva. So in the same way, among the Puranas, this is the greatest, Srimad Bhagavatam. And Kshetranam Chaiva Sarvesham Yata Kashi Hiyanuttama. Among all the Kshetras, among all the holy places, Varanasi is supreme. Who thinks like that? It's the materialistic followers of Vedic culture think that Varanasi is supreme. Otherwise, Vrindavan, Navadvip, actually, Varanasi is supreme for those whose conception of the supreme only goes up to Lord Shiva or Shakti, his wife. But so some statements, they're there to for persons who are in a particular mode of life, particular mode of thinking. But then, okay, all right, so they accept Srimad Bhagavatam. But then they should hear Bhagavatam. And then they should hear Bhagavatam from a devotee. Jao Bhagavata Paro Vaishnavera Sthane. Otherwise, we find the great speakers of Bhagavatam, complete Mayavadis, the most famous in Hindi exponent of Bhagavatam, as famous in Vrindavan and Varanasi, that Karpatri Maharaj. Karpatri, he didn't eat much, supposed to, just what he could, his hand was his plate, that's all. So, trying to understand, okay, just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he had defeated actually the Mayavadis at Varanasi, then they started studying Bhagavatam. But that we have to study from proper Vaishnavas also, those who are not afraid of hiding Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to Srila Advaita Acharya Prabhu on his Divine Appearance Day. It's a most beautiful festival in Mayapur at this time. The Panchatattva deities in Mayapur. In Mayapur at ISKCON Temple, even before that, we have at Srivasangam, Bhaktistan Sahasrara Thakur established. And then Advaita's house is there, just opposite, just there. Advaita's house in Navadvip is there. So, big festival today. In Shantipur must be also. Advaita Saptami, the seventh day. The moon is growing brighter. And grow brighter and brighter and brighter, and then again darkness. Or the moon, you see. And then the next time becomes bright, Falguni Purnima. On the prayers of Advaita Acharya, Brajendra Nandanjay Shachishuta, Shachishuta Hiloshe. Advaita Acharya brings Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to this world. So Lord Shiva, by his preaching as Shankara, he made Krishna come to this world. First, Ramanuja appeared, Madhva appeared, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even before when Shankara had come as Shankaracharya, when Shiva had come as Shankara, he, at that time, he laid the foundation for which eventually Krishna himself would have to come to combat this Mayavad. Hare Krishna. Mancha kalpa tarubhyascha. Oh, one thing more I've got to say. Lord Shiva is guarding the Rasa Lila. You can't come in. He's outside. But as Advaita Acharya, he joins the Rasa Lila. The Sankirtan Lila, which the Sankirtan Lila at Srivas's house that's described is non-different from the Rasa Lila in Vrindavan. So he also joins in full ecstasy in the dancing. And dances like a madman. So these Mayavadi, they like to say, Shiva Oham. I am Shiva. We can also say Shivoham if we understand that I am the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Dasamui, Tar Dasa Das. I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya and his servant's servant. So then we become auspicious. If we think I am directly Lord Shiva, we become total. And especially if we identify Lord Shiva with some impersonal oneness, we become very inauspicious. But when we recognize I'm the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we can say Shivoham. But then we don't say Shivoham. We say Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One other thought, that in the modern day, people are very anxious to make men and women equal role. Men can become women. Women can become men. Some women want to become men. Some men want to become women. There's a special bhav of being a man, which is very different to that of being a woman. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the opportunity. Man in Krishna Lila can become a woman in Gaur Lila and vice versa. Mostly it's around the other way. The women in Krishna Lila, they become men in Gaur Lila. But they internally, they have the sweetness and beauty of women. But externally, they have to act as men to propagate the bhakti cult. There's so much more to be said about this. Hare Krishna, Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu Ki Jai. Anta kalpa tarubhyas charkipa sindhubi eva chapati dhanam pavadebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Why be man or woman? You can be man and woman, but not at the same time. That's for Lord Shiva. Harihara. This, what's that called? Nurishwara. Ardha Narishwara. The form of Lord Shiva, half man, half woman, very mysterious figure. Harihar is also Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu. So, a very mysterious Tatma, Lord Shiva. Dante nithaya churnakam padhya nipatya kritvacha kakushata metada hambra vimi hais sadhava sakala eva vyayadurang oranga chandra charnekam.